universal polarity. The law of polarity is, of course, a cosmic law. Everything is produced by two other things. Anything that is ever produced anywhere in the universe is produced by two other things. That is the law of polarity. In the organic world, we see it as parenthood. In the inorganic world, the world of physics and chemistry, we see it as protons and electrons. That is how the material universe is built. It always takes two things to produce a third. And that is the real, ultimate meaning behind the Trinity. There were Trinitarian doctrines before the time of Christ. There were trinities in ancient Egypt, in India, and in Chaldea, and in Babylonia. Always there is the Trinity, Father, Mother, Child, activity, material, production. Go where you like, seek where you will find the Trinity. In the building of thought, the two poles are clarity of thought and warmth of feeling, knowledge and feeling. 99 times in 100, the reason metaphysical students do not demonstrate is that they lack feeling in their treatments. They speak the truth, oh yes, I am divine spirit, I am one with God, but they do not feel it. The second pole is missing. When they talk about their troubles, they are full of feeling, but when they speak of truth, they are cold. They say, I am divine spirit, and they say it without feeling, but when they say, I have a terrible pain, it is loaded with feeling, and so the pain they get and the pain they keep. A person is out of work and says with no feeling, God is my infinite supply, I am always in my true place. But if someone asks whether work has been found, he or she says, I have been out of work 2 years, I wrote letters, I went after that job, but they were prejudiced against me. They wouldn't give me a chance. When one gets on the negative side, the negative feeling comes in, and that is what is demonstrated. The person remains unemployed. To think clearly and with feeling leads to demonstration, because then you have built a mental equivalent. Think of the conditions you want to produce. If you want to be healthy, happy, prosperous, if you want to do constructive work and maintain a continuous understanding of God, you do not necessarily picture it, but you think it, feel it, and get interested in it. What we call feeling in connection with thought is really interest. Feeling is not excitement. Did you ever hear of anything coming from excitement except apoplexy? True feeling and thought is interest. Can people be successful if they truly are not interested in their work? Can people ever really be unsuccessful in their endeavors if they put their hearts into their work? The answer to both questions is no. Successful people, no matter what their jobs are, have put their hearts into their work. They love what they do. They don't look for financial recompense because the enjoyment they receive from their involvement is enough. They are successful because they care and truly are interested in what they are doing. You build a mental equivalent for what you want by getting interested in it. This is the way you create feeling. If you want health, get interested in health. If you want the right place, get interested in service. The reason people do not get ahead in business is that they try to think up schemes to get another's money instead of thinking up opportunities for service. They get interested in what they want to do and get rid of things they are not interested in. How are you going to expunge the wrong mental equivalents? Suppose you have a mental equivalent of resentment, unemployment, criticism, or not understanding God. When somebody talks about God and it does not interest you much, you get sleepy or bored. Perhaps you do not get along with people. Not that you quarrel with them, but they quarrel with you. The quarrel happens. What is to be done? The only way to expunge a wrong mental equivalent is to supply the opposite. Think the right thought. The right thought automatically deletes the wrong thought. If you say, I am not going to think resentment anymore, I don't believe in it, there is nothing to it, I am not going to think of it anymore, you are thinking about resentment and strengthening the mental equivalent of resentment. Forget it. Think of health and bodily ease and peace and harmony and speak the word for it. Then you are building a mental equivalent of health. If you want your true place, if your problem is unemployment, no job, the wrong job, or a job you do not like, if you say, I am not going to think unemployment anymore, you are wrong. That is thinking unemployment, is it not? Think true place. If I say to you, don't think of the Statue of Liberty in New York, you know what you are thinking about. You are not thinking of anything except the Statue of Liberty. There she is, complete with torch in her hand. I said don't think of her, but you do. Now I am going to say that some time ago I visited a perfect reproduction of the village of New Salem near Springfield, Illinois, as it was in the days of Abraham Lincoln. Even the log cabin is furnished as it was in his day. Now you have forgotten the Statue of Liberty, haven't you? You are thinking of New Salem. I gave you a different idea. This is the key to the management of your mind, of your thinking, and therefore the key to the management of your destiny. Do not dwell on negative things, but replace them, supplant them, with the right, constructive things. The law of mind is that you only can get rid of one thought by substituting another. If a carpenter drives a nail into a wooden wall or into a beam, there it is. Now, if he takes a second nail and drives it against the first is driven out and the second one takes the place of the first one. This is what happens in your mind when you substitute one image for another. For everything in life, there has to be a mental equivalent. If you start this very day and refuse to think of your mistakes, and of course that includes the mistakes of other people, if you cease to think of mistakes and instead hold the right concepts, cease to think fear and instead think divine love, cease to think lack and instead think prosperity and the presence of God's abundance, and then if you will think clearly and get interested, you will be building a mental equivalent of happiness and prosperity. If your thought is very vague, you do not build a mental equivalent. If your thought is lacking in interest, you do not build a mental equivalent. So make your thoughts as clear and as definite as possible. Never strain. As soon as you start straining, taking the clenching the fist attitude, saying, I'm going to get what I want, I'm going to get it if it kills me, all mental building stops. We all have been told to relax. I have seen people tense up as soon as they were told to relax. They were going to relax if it killed them. And of course, they missed the whole point. Get the thought of what you want as clear as you can. Be definite, but not too specific. If you say, I want a house in the country or in the suburbs, and I want it to have a porch and a large yard with trees and flowers, that is all right. But do not say, I must have a certain house, the one at 257 9th Street or at 21 5th Avenue. Suppose you are going shopping. You should know what you are shopping for. You should have a definite idea. If you say, I want something, I don't know what, I will leave it to God. Or if you say, I want a business, it may be a farm or a shop, I will leave it to divine mind. You are foolish. What are you here for? You must have some desires and wishes because you represent God here. So you must say, yes, I want a shop, and I know the kind of shop I want. I know a woman who demonstrated a hat shop. She had no capital, but she wanted to go into business. She wanted a hat shop. She loved to make hats. She had a natural flair for it. She could make hats that looked good on the homeliest people, and that is the art of millinery, isn't it? She was a good businesswoman, so she built the mental equivalent of a hat shop. She did not say, I must be in a certain block on a certain street. She did not say, I am going to get a hat shop if it kills me, or I am going to get a hat shop and I want Jane Smith's hat shop. She built a definite mental equivalent, and that is the right way. If you say, I want a strong, healthy body, and build up a mental equivalent for it by constantly thinking of your body as perfect, that is fine. Do not think of details very much. Do not say, first of all, I'm going to get my teeth fixed up with right thought, and I'll let my bald head wait. Or maybe I should get my bald head fixed up first because my teeth can wait. It is the details that are wrong. The evil of outlining lies in going into small details and in saying, I want it in my time, in my way, whether God wants it or not. Apart from going too much into small details, you must have definite ideas, however. Do not strain to get your ideas clear. They will be clearer the second day or the 52nd day. If you have a pair of field glasses and you look at something and want the focus clearer, you slowly turn the wheel until the focus is clear. Getting your mental equivalent may take you a week or a month or a year. Charge it with interest, like an electric charge, or it is dead. Love is the only way. You cannot be interested in a thing unless you love it. If you love it, it is filled with interest. It is filled with energy and life, and it comes true. There is an interesting story about Napoleon. He thought a big nose was a sign of strong character. He said, "Give me a man with plenty of nose." If someone came to him and said that a certain officer ought to be promoted, he would say, "Has he got plenty of nose? Give me a man with a big nose." If an officer was killed, he replaced him with someone with a big nose. You know what happened. The law sent him Wellington, and Wellington destroyed him. Wellington had the largest nose in English history. He said it was more a handle than a nose. Take this anecdote as a joke if you like, but it carries an important lesson. The doctrine of the mental equivalent is the essence of metaphysical teaching, the doctrine that you will receive that for which you provide the mental equivalent. I have known some very remarkable cases where people furnished the mental equivalent and out of the blue came things they never could have hoped for in the ordinary way. I know many men and women in London and New York and other places who seemingly had no human chance to attain success, but they got hold of this knowledge of mental equivalence. They quietly and faithfully applied this knowledge, and sometime sooner or later, the thing they wanted came to them, without any help from anything outside, and it stayed with them and brought a blessing.